morning, if you would please join me in Psalm 103. And we're going to share some things with you this morning just by way of reminder to stir your heart and encourage you to continue to seek all that God has for you in this life and to get to the place. You know, I think sometimes we go through life and we experience certain things and other things we don't. We tend to settle sometimes, I think, for less than what God has for us, less than His best for our life. And the enemy is able to steal truth from our mind and in the process steal blessing from our life because we don't persist and continue in the things of the Lord. In Psalm 103, the first five verses, the psalmist David tells us this. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." Forget none of His benefits. "Who pardons all of our iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Father, teach us today and remind us in this hour of the benefits of salvation that we would forget none of them and not be content to settle for anything less than your best for our lives. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to stir your heart a little bit this morning. The service has already gone in that direction where we're talking about healing. And I want to talk about it in the sense of physical healing today as one of the blessings of salvation and what God can do. Understand when I talk about healing, I'm not talking about just divine, miraculous healing. I'm talking about all healing because I believe the nature of God is to heal. And I believe God has many, many avenues and many, many ways in which He can do that. So don't limit God in anything as we're sharing this message with you this morning, but just keep in mind we're challenging you and stirring your heart a little bit this morning to continue to remember in the goodness of God and to trust God's goodness in your life and to not let go of the promises of God no matter what. No matter how long you may have to stand and wait for God to do something in your life, just be willing to stand. Just be willing to stand. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, having done all, stand. Stand. When you do your part, then you let it go and you give it to God and you wait for God to do His part and you just stand until He does. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. And sometimes, and I don't, one of the many things that I don't understand about God is the timing of the Lord and why things work in the ways that they do and the time that they do. But look, the issue is not when, the issue is what. What did God say? What did God say? So we want to look at the word this morning because we call ourselves a full gospel church. Let me just explain what that means to you this morning. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. You understand this morning that all of us are triune beings, if I can say it that way. We think of that word in the context maybe of God and the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the truth is all of us are triune beings. There are three parts to all of us. There's the body that we live in. There's our soul, which is generally understood to mean the mind and the will and the emotions. But then there's the real us, which is the man on the inside, and that's the spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. We're triune beings. And I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the benefits of salvation apply to all three parts of man. I know we know that from eternity, but I believe that God wants to bless us in ways in this lifetime that demonstrate as a foretaste the blessings of salvation in the world to come. Most importantly, we know that when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, when we surrender to Him and believe in Him, we will spend eternity with Him. And that's the most important blessing any of us can ever receive from the Lord. We thank God for that. But again, I believe that the blessings of the Lord apply not only to the spirit of man, but to all of man. And God wants us to walk in victory in every realm of life. Let me suggest some things to you this morning. That God wants to do things in our life, in this lifetime, on this side of heaven, okay? as a foretaste of what things are going to be like on the other side when we get there. He's given us the Holy Spirit, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, as a foretaste of heaven itself. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, watch this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk free from sin in our life. We've already talked about that this morning. Our victory over sin doesn't begin when we finally get to heaven. It begins when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us to give us the power to walk free from that. That's a blessing for this lifetime, not just in the one to come. And nobody would ever stop and say, well, now, you know, Jesus died for this, but you're not going to be free from that until you finally get to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches God wants us to be free from sin today. And the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to us to break the power of sin over our life. Hopefully nobody would ever say, now, God wants you to just keep that sin for a little while because he's trying to teach you something. No, God wants us to be free from that and be victorious over it. God wants us to walk in a life of love and faith where we overcome worry and fear and these kinds of things. Somebody said over 365 times the Bible says, fear not. One for every day of the week, all year long. Fear not. God tells us all the time, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Cast your cares on the Lord. All of these kinds of things. The Bible doesn't say now, you know, when you get to heaven, you're not going to have to worry about fear, but in this lifetime, God maybe wants you to hold on to worry just a little while longer. Just to hold on to worry a little while. No, we wouldn't dare think that way, would we? That reminds me of the story of Pharaoh in the Old Testament. You remember the story of Pharaoh, the children of Israel in the Promised Land? And Moses goes to set them free, and he's talking with Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and all that. Remember all that story? And one of those plagues, you read about it in Exodus chapter 8. One of those plagues was the plagues of frogs. And man, frogs were everywhere. They had frogs in their homes and in their beds and in their shoes. And can you imagine getting out of bed in the morning and stick your foot in your shoe and you squish a frog down the end of that thing? You roll over in the bed at night and you lay on two or three frogs. There are frogs everywhere. Tremendous curse of frogs. And Pharaoh's magicians, they couldn't duplicate or they couldn't change the situation. And so finally he conceded to Moses. He said, dude, you got me on this one. There's nothing I can do about this one. Would you please take the frogs away? Moses says, it's going to be your honor to tell me when to do it. I'm not going to decide, you decide. When do you want me to take these frogs away? Now hear this. When do you want me to take these frogs away? Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Tomorrow? You got frogs everywhere now, man. Why don't you take the frogs away now? No, tomorrow. No, God, listen. God wants to take away your frogs and warts and everything else today. He wants to deliver us today. He wants us free today. He wants us free from the bondage and chains that hold us and addictions and bad habits and all of those things. Nobody would ever think, and hopefully none of us would ever think, well, you know, that addiction to cocaine and drugs and alcohol, God wants you to keep that just a little while longer. No, God wants us to be free today. Well, when it comes to sickness and disease, why do we have that theology that says, oh, God wants you to hold on to that just a little while longer? Well, look, Jesus died to set us free from all of these things. And God wants us to live in victory. The blessings of the grace of God bring divine protection. It brings blessing. It brings health. It brings God's favor into our lives, and it's all because of a good and loving God. And it's why the Bible tells us, it's why David tells us in Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David says, man, try God. Try God. Find out for yourself just how good God really is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man. King James says, blessed is the man who trusts in him. My New American Standard says, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I kind of like that better because of the picture that it paints, to take refuge in God. It means that in that time of, in that difficult time, I'm running to God. I'm taking refuge. You remember, couple months ago, we had that tornado come through here. And the weather report is telling us all of these things. And of course, we never have tornadoes in Lynchburg, right? So I'm standing at my side door and I'm watching the weather. I'm looking at all that's happening out there. And the Russell's home is less than 100 feet. Their door, where they go in their house, is less than 100 feet from where we go in and out our side door all the time. So I'm standing there at my side door and I'm watching the rain come and I'm looking at it. It's just getting darker and darker and darker. And the rain is just blowing, the wind is just blowing like crazy. The door doesn't want to stay shut, my storm door. I'm holding it shut. And the house, a couple of houses down, all of a sudden that house just disappears. I can't see it anymore. And the rains keep coming and it keeps blowing and the winds are howling. And the Russell's house, less than 100 feet away, it just about disappears from sight. And the wind is just, the rain is horizontal. From where I'm standing, it's left to right and it's blowing like this. And their house almost disappears, and about that time, all of a sudden, the rain is blowing this direction. It turned and was going the opposite direction. I turned around and looked at Becky, and I said, run. And we sought refuge in our basement. We ran. We ran to find refuge in our basement, to find protection from the storm. Well, when we trust the Lord, it's because we're running to the Lord. We're seeking refuge in Him. We're coming to Him for our protection. We're expecting God to take care of us. And God is a good God and He's a faithful God. And He wants to do awesome things in our life. And this morning, I just want to stir your heart. I've got several passages of scripture that I want to share with you quickly. If you want to go ahead and turn over to Exodus chapter 15 while I finish my introduction this morning. They're just, it's so easy for us day to day to get caught up in the day to dayness of life that we forget about the promises of God. We forget about the possibilities of what God can do in our lives. And those possibilities are endless. And sometimes it's easy for us to just kind of give up and lose hope and just accept less than God's best for our lives, and just, well, I guess that's the best it's going to be, and try to deal with it that way. I love the story of David in the Old Testament. David, if you remember, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. God told a prophet by the name of Nathan what David and Bathsheba had done, and Nathan calls David out, and when he's talking to David and telling him what's going to happen because of his sin of adultery, Nathan says, the child that has been born of this relationship is going to die. There are consequences for what you've done, and this child is going to die because of this particular situation. And sure enough, the child gets sick, the child begins to die. And the amazing thing, this is why I love David so much. David, the Bible says, is a man whose heart was just after God. He just loved God so much. He just believed God was capable of anything and quite possibly would do anything. God had already said the child will die. Okay? But as the child is dying, David goes to God in prayer. And he pleads for the life of the child. Why would he do that when God has already said the child is going to die? And David pleads for the life of the child. Well, the child dies just like God said. David's servants, David gets up and he cleans himself off and he goes back to business, goes back to life as usual. The servants came to him and they were surprised by his demeanor and surprised by what he did. They were looking for an explanation. David, why would you do that? And David's response was this. You never know what God might do. God is so good. God is so good. Even though God said the child is going to die, God is so awesome and God is so good, He just might spare that child anyway. For most of us, I think we live exactly the opposite of that. Even though God has told us about great blessings, we think God doesn't love us enough to do what He said He would do in our life. So we're content to do without. David believed that God could and might even do the impossible, even though it already said otherwise. And I just want to stir your heart this morning to have a heart like David's, to believe that God can do absolutely anything. And by the way, I'm not making you any promises, okay? Don't go away from here saying, Pastor Ken said, God's going to do this. God's going. No, listen, I'm just telling you how awesome God is and the possibilities of what God can do in your life, okay? What he does is between you and God. What God does in my life is between me and God. See, what he does in your life is between you and God. That's why every one of us needs to make up our minds and make the decision to be a person who chases after God, who desires God and everything he is and everything he has, willing to surrender totally to God in your life. In Exodus chapter 15, I think that's where I told you to turn over there. I want to look this morning and talk about the nature of God as a healer. The nature of God is that God is a healer. We sang the songs this morning about God, our healer. It's just, this is his nature. And nothing that we do can change the nature of God. God is love. Nothing you can do can change the nature of God. Nothing you can do can keep God from loving you. And the nature of God is to be a healer as well. We know that, listen, from the story of creation. When God created everything, every day he created something and God said, it's good. It's good. And after a week he said, it's very good. And Adam and Eve lived in a place of paradise with God in perfection where there was no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no calamity, no death. None of those things were God's intention at creation. All of those things became a part of the human existence because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And since that time, now man experiences fear, anxiety, oppression. We live in bodies that are aging, they are corrupting, they are decaying, they're falling apart. I'm waiting for an amen. I know some of you out there can. It's just the way, listen, it's just the world that we live in under the curse that has been here since Genesis chapter 3. And man suffers breakdowns of all kinds. Our bodies are susceptible to illness and disease, and ultimately we will die. But God's plan has always been to walk in divine health in the presence of the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it is named Marah. Marah means bitter. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. Let me just stop right there before I go any further, because what we see in these verses of Scripture is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to show it to you, okay? There's a gospel picture in these verses of Scripture, okay? They come to waters of Marah, where the waters are bitter. You might say it this way, they are diseased. They're going to produce death, okay? And so this is life as we know it in this lifetime. But notice it says there that Moses found a tree. God showed him, verse 25, a tree. Now here's the thing. In the New Testament, a tree can speak of the cross of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 3. Galatians says, cursed, speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus, it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's from the Levitical law, Deuteronomy law. Okay? So the curse and death on a tree is fulfilled by Jesus when he dies on the cross. Here's my point. In this story in Exodus chapter 15, this tree represents the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay? And notice that when Moses takes the tree and throws it into the waters become sweet. Here's the point. Here's the whole gospel message right here. Okay? When you and I apply the cross of Jesus Christ to our lives that are bitter, that are poisoned, that are destined for death, our lives become sweet. We become full of life. And so there's the gospel message right there. Bitter water is made sweet by a tree, your life made whole by the cross of Jesus Christ. In that picture of the healing of these waters, verse 26 tells us this. God said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. I, the Lord, am your healer. In the ancient Hebrew, the phrase there is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. The way that it's written there, this descriptive name of God is the way God chose to reveal himself and his nature to the children of Israel. He calls himself Jehovah Rapha here. He calls himself in Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He calls himself in Psalm 23, forgot the word. What's the word for shepherd? Anybody remember? The Lord my shepherd. But each of these things, and then he calls himself Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace. I am the Lord your righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Here's the point. All of these names describe the nature of God. God uses his names in the Old Testament to describe his nature to the children of Israel. And here in this passage of Scripture, he calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. This is a description of the nature of God. God says, I am by nature a healer. It's what I want to do. Okay? So the God of the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Look over at the book of Acts. God the Father is a healer. We know that God the Son is a healer. Numerous times in the Gospels, we see the miracles of Jesus and the healings that he did in a multitude of different ways. He brought healing to people, whether it was by laying hands on them, whether it was by spitting into the dirt and making mud and sticking it into a guy's eye, whether it was by touching a man's tongue, whether it was by just simply declaring you are well, whether it was by telling somebody what to do to get well. All of these ways Jesus uses in order to bring about healing, because Jesus is a healer. And oh, by the way, I want you to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I want you to count the number of times somebody came to Jesus seeking healing, and I want you to count the number of times Jesus says, no, I'm not going to heal you. I need you to keep that sickness for a while longer in order to learn a lesson. Let me tell you how many times you're going to find it's a big fat zero, okay? I mean, you know, just saying those words, it's abrasive to our brains to think that Jesus would dare say that to somebody. And yet in our theology today, that's what we conclude. The question where God's will for healing is concerned is always forever answered to me in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the expressed image of the Father, who is a God in the flesh himself. My thinking is always this. Whenever you want to know what God is like, just read the Gospels. Jesus is God. He is God. You want to know what he's up to? You want to know what he desires to do? You want to know what he's thinking about? Just read the Gospels. Jesus is God. One of his own disciples came to him in John chapter 14. And Philip came to him, and Jesus had been talking about Father's house. And Philip comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, show us the Father. Show us the Father. You keep talking about Father. Show us what Father is like. And Jesus answers this way. He says, I'm right here. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm right here. You want to know what God like? God's like. You want to know what God thinks? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Acts 10:38 says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Because God was with him, healing was in him. Because God, by nature, is a healer. And listen, I understand, I get it. And we've talked about this before. There are a lot of reasons why healing doesn't come. We talked about this. My focus is not that today. We've talked about how pride, how unbelief, how a bitter and an unforgiving heart, all of these things can be hindrances to the grace of God in our life. But my focus today is on the nature of God and what he wants to do, I'm convinced, in all of us. Look back over at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Let me read several passages for you, just to see the nature of Jesus. Jesus has been on the mountain choosing his 12 who would be the apostles. Verse 17 says Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. And there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Notice it says, verse 17, a large crowd. They came for healing. Those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. And all of the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. Healing them all. Look back over at the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Again, while you're turning there, let me just remind you, I'm trying to stir our heart today to trust and believe God for the very best that God can do in our lives and not settle for anything less than that. But believe God for the best of what he is able to do in our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and about verse 15, I think, is where I want to go. This is after Jesus heals the man with the withered hand. In Matthew chapter 12, in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And Jesus tells the man to stretch out his hand, and it is restored to normal like the other. The Pharisees are upset about what Jesus did. He's broken their Sabbath law. The Sabbath was more important to them than this man's hand was. You see how twisted they were in their theology. And so they sought to destroy Jesus. And verse 15 tells us, but Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all. I'm just wanting you to see today the nature of the Lord. The desire of the heart of God is for healing and health for us. It's what he ultimately wants for all of us as his children. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Verse 14. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus comes to Peter's house. And he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. When evening came, this also happened to be a Sabbath, and so the people in the community waited until the Sabbath was over. The sun sets before they come, but they do come. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Verse 17, look at this verse. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now the quote by Matthew from Isaiah chapter 53 is actually a quote that goes on to say, by his stripes we are healed. You may hear that phrase around here a lot. And I want you to notice, first of all, absolutely, the healing that Jesus purchases at Calvary's cross, pictured for us by his suffering at Calvary in Isaiah 53, absolutely, it's a spiritual healing. And it's for new birth. And it's for eternal life. But it is also for physical healing. Jesus opens heaven so that heaven can come to us, that we can experience in a foretaste what heaven is like by the power of the Holy Spirit. By his stripes, we are healed. Notice that Matthew quotes this passage of scripture from Isaiah 53 in the context of physical healing. Okay? It's important for us to understand that the nature of the Lord is healing for us today. God the Father is healer. God the Son is healer. What about God the Holy Spirit? Does he have anything to do with healing? I think he does. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read this last series that we did, talking about the nature of God working through every believer as a witness. But I want you to notice the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God the Father is healer. God the Son is healer. God the Holy Spirit has spiritual gifts that he gives to the church. Verse 7, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each one of them, healing is spoken of in the context of all three members of the Godhead. It's why we have in James chapter 5, look in James chapter 5 with me, just a couple more passages real quickly. Why is it important that we read these scriptures? Please hear this. It is important that we read the scriptures so that we get our theology, our belief in God, from the Word of God. It's important that we get our beliefs about God from the Word of God, from what God himself says about himself. Most of us get our theology from our own imaginations, or from our own experiences, okay? I prayed for this, God didn't do it, therefore God doesn't do this. And we have a theology about God. We need to learn to understand, listen, we need to understand our theology needs to be based in the Word of God, and we need to have faith. Here's the thing, in the world we say seeing is believing. But in the kingdom of God, the opposite is exactly true. The opposite is true. Believing is seeing. See, most of us, we want to see something before we will believe, even where God is concerned. But the Bible tells us if we're going to experience what God has for us, we have to believe first. Jesus tells us in John chapter 11, if you will believe, then you will see the glory of God. We have to believe first. We have to make up our mind. Listen, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what anybody else experiences. I don't care if nobody ever sees anything come to pass. If the Bible says it, I'm going to choose to believe that it's true. We need to make a choice to believe what God says to be the truth. Then we can come to a place of faith where then we see the favor and the glory of God. Look at James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. So again, we see throughout the scriptures, the nature of God is healing and health. The desire of the Lord is ultimately and perfectly to bring healing and health. And we've seen this confirmed in a number of ways and a number of times in our church members over the years. We saw it when we first started getting into this kind of messages many years ago. And first started understanding that Christianity is not just a matter of holding on to Jesus till you finally get to heaven, but rather it's God coming down to earth in the power of His Spirit to reveal Himself and to make Himself known and to bring blessing into our life as we live by faith and trust Him with our lives every day. And we first started hearing about these things. Sean was just a little baby back in those days. And Sean had a tough time as a child with croup cough and seasonal allergies and all of those kinds of things. And every time the weather changed, Sean would get this very, very deep and hoarse cough. I think sometimes they put children in the hospital for these kinds of things. The doctors would give us medications for Sean and things like that. And it was just just a mess all the time. And his throat would swell up, and he would just, and he's gasping for breath and all these kinds of things. And we began to hear that Jesus is a healer, that Jesus still heals. And one time the seasons began to change, and Sean is in his little bedroom across the hall from us there, and he begins to cough, and that was always the first sign to us that here we go again, you know. And I'm convinced, as much today as I was that day, that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go in that room and lay your hands on your son, and I'll heal him. And I got up and I went across the hall and I laid my hands on Sean and I prayed for him. And he coughed one more time. And he rolled over and went to sleep. And he never had the croup after that. Now you might call that coincidence. That's your business. I choose to call it God. I call it God. And I just believe with all my heart that God is as much God today as He ever was, is able to do things today just like He ever did, if we would dare to believe and trust in Him. We've seen so many things over the years, and time doesn't permit, because my time is gone. Time doesn't permit. And one of my favorite ones was many years ago, Bonnie twisted her ankle. And she went to the doctor and had her ankle all bandaged up and hobbled into church on crutches. Came to church that Sunday morning on crutches. And while we were worshiping the Lord, we weren't talking about healing. Nobody was praying. We were just worshiping the Lord. And we came to an end of a song. And all of a sudden, Bonnie yelled, I'm healed. I'm healed. And she took the bandages off of her foot and she carried those crutches out of church that Sunday. I'm just telling you guys, God is an awesome God. And I know it's a struggle sometimes for us to believe. That's why Paul says we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight to stay in faith, because the devil wants to steal faith from us. Because if he can rob us of faith, he can keep us from favor. See? So we have to fight to stay in faith. But if we can dare believe, the Bible says nothing is impossible for God. Mark chapter 1, I got one last scripture real quickly I'm going to read for you. Mark chapter 1, this is one of the verses that just released the conviction of God's healing grace into my life many years ago. It's the story of a leper who came to Jesus, verse 40. The leper came to Jesus beseeching him, falling on his knees before him. He said, listen to what he says. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Hear that? If you are willing, you can make me clean. In other words, he has no problem believing in the ability of Jesus to make him well. His struggle is, Jesus, would you do it for me? And isn't that where most of us are a lot of the time? Oh, God, I know you can. I just don't know if you'll do it for me. Look at this. Verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus settled the issue in my heart with that scripture that he wants to make people well. He wants to cleanse people. He wants to deliver people. He wants to set captives free. He wants to give victory over every work of darkness in our life. His desire is that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So I just encourage you this morning to seek the Lord. Study the Word. Listen for the Spirit of God. Don't base your theology on what somebody else tells you is right or wrong, or what circumstances tell you are happening in your life, or those kind. Listen, we all struggle with all of these things. But let's get our theology from the Word of God. We don't have to wonder what God is like. God's given us a whole great big book so that we can know him and understand what he's like, what his nature is, what his will is for our life. I encourage you, I challenge you to stretch your faith. Dare to believe. Nothing is impossible for God. God is able. God is a healing God. Would you stand with me this morning? And let's go to the Lord and be in an attitude of prayer. And we've already had a time of ministry where healing is concerned during our worship this morning. But let's just stay in an attitude of prayer for a few moments, if we could, to close our service today. And let me ask you to ask this question of God. See, you may be here this morning and you may be fine and everything in your household is fine, and you don't see the application of the message today to your life. I can assure you there will be a time, because of the bodies that we live in and because of the enemy who roams around, because of the fallen nature of this world, I can assure you we will all suffer afflictions of many kinds. So we had asked the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me this morning in this message? Maybe you're one of the people that Jim was speaking of earlier, that's you've been going through something maybe for a long time. Maybe you've given up hope that God can really heal you. I challenge you to have a heart like David. I challenge you to have a heart like David and just in your heart of hearts say, you know what? Even though God said opposite, God is so good, he just might do what I'm asking him to do. Would you dare to have that kind of heart before God? And no matter how critical your situation might be, or someone you know, there may be somebody that you know that's going through a difficult time. One of our friends from years ago went to Liberty with Becky. She's been battling cancer. She's just in her early 40s. She had cancer in her lungs. It went to her brain. She's had a rough time in the last couple of months. In March or April, she was running marathons. A month later, she's diagnosed with cancer and her body is just shriveled away. And God is working through medicine to heal that young woman's body, just as he did our own son. 10, 11 years ago, Ben went through the fight of cancer for his life. And we just dared to believe God. And I'm telling you again, God is a healer. God is a healer. It doesn't have to be supernatural to be God. God is a healer and he desires us to be well and he wants to work his work in our life. Deborah's been going through chemo for a month or so now. The cancer is responding to the chemo. The brain cancer is almost completely gone. The lung cancer is shriveling and going away. We just keep believing God for complete healing for her life. Nothing is impossible for God. And maybe you know somebody who's going through a battle. And maybe God would have you to share this message with somebody. To encourage them in their journey. Maybe we're going through something. We need to be encouraged in our journey. Maybe God is preparing us for something that's ahead. He wants us to be ready when it comes. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart out of this message today. God, what are you saying to me? And then take this message and whatever God speaks to you and find that application for your life. Father, I pray today over our congregation this morning that each and every one of us, Father, would chase after you with all of our heart and desire nothing more and nothing less than your perfect will to be done in our lives. Help us to see, God, that nothing is impossible for you. Help us to be fully and totally surrendered to you, that your will can be done. Lord, even as you said to pray, your will can be done in the earth, even as it's done in heaven. May it be so for each of us, Father. Thank you for the healings that we have experienced naturally and supernaturally. We believe it's all from you. We thank you for the healing that Gay has experienced, Lord, of the blood issues that she was suffering. Thank you, God, for bringing healing to our sister. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. So, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would seal this message in our hearts today and you would encourage each of us to seek after you and to pursue you through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to know the truth for our own life and how that truth is going to unfold and how we can lay hold of all of the promises that you've made to us in the Word. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness again. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. And thank you for all of the benefits of your salvation. Help us, God, that we would not forget any of them, but that we would walk in all of them for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, God. So, Father, I commit this church to you once again. Pray, Lord, that you would move in all of our hearts to glorify Jesus. I pray and speak the blessing of health and strength. I speak the blessing of peace and joy. I speak the blessing of wisdom and knowledge over this congregation today. That you would bring all of these things to pass in the lives of all of these precious brothers and sisters in Jesus. Watch over us now, Lord, as we go our separate ways. Continue to guide, lead us, and direct us. Use us for your glory, we pray. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. And as always, if we can pray further with you, for you about any need in your life, please let us know. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us on this beautiful Sunday. Go out and make it a great day in the Lord.